Reading, please, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, starting at verse 1, reading down to the 15th verse. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" May the Lord bless his word to us. Let's please bow for prayer. Our loving Father, as we pause now in thy presence to seek thy face, we come to pray and ask for the help of the Spirit of God. As we have the word open now, we pray the Spirit of the Lord will take these things and so impress them upon our hearts. Lord, teach us, we ask. Give us understanding. Help us to go in the way of the Lord. May our lives be those that so reflect the truth and the beauty and the holiness of our Savior. Lord, come and help me this morning, I pray. Fill me with the Spirit of God, that I will speak very clearly and plainly the things of the Lord, so that no one would misunderstand. And Lord, we ask that for any in our meeting who are not saved, that they would come under conviction of sin, strong conviction. They would be brought to Christ. Those who perhaps are backslidden, cold in heart, wandering off, Lord, draw them back, we pray. Bless us now as we wait before thee. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. At this time of the year, many hearts and minds are drawn toward the great question of the reality of Christianity in a world that is reeling back and forth with pain and anguish and warfare. People want to know, is there any legitimate argument for the reality of the Christian faith in this world in which we are living? People have real questions and they're looking for substantial answers. They want to know, is this Christ whom we have heard of, whom people talk about, and especially at this season of the year that some people are emphasizing more than others, is there anything to it? Or is it just a vestige of some old religion? A vestige of something that is come now into this modern age? Or is it time for us to reject all such things as notions, fables, those which belong to a bygone era? The question really comes as we think of this word that we have read today from Matthew chapter 2, and the question that the wise men came to ask, where is the Lord? And I pose that question to you this morning. Where is He? Where is the Lord? And if someone was to come to you, Christian, in your life, would they know the answer to that question by the way you are living your life? Would they know very clearly, oh, there's the Lord. And there's the reality of Christ in the life of an individual, and they can see it clearly. Where is the Lord? Men from many ages have both predicted and they have sought after the coming of the Messiah. Really since the beginning of time. In the Garden of Eden and shortly after that, Eve, when she gave birth to her first son who was called Cain, she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And Eve believed that this was the fulfillment of the word that God had given to her, that a Messiah would come. Jude talks in his book about a man called Enoch. And Enoch in his day, who was the sixth from Adam, he prophesied, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints. Moses said through the Lord that God would raise up a prophet like unto me in Deuteronomy 18. And in the book of Acts, the fulfillment of that is found that Christ indeed was that prophet. But I'm thinking about those in the Old Testament who both predicted and they looked forward to, they sought for the coming of Christ. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. In other words, the prophets, as they received the message from the Spirit of God, the inspired word they wrote down in their prophecies, but they themselves were not fully coherent as to what those prophecies meant and how they would be fulfilled. And so they searched into the Word, seeking the mind of the Spirit of God. When will Christ come? Where will He come? Let us have an understanding of this great truth. And then in Galatians chapter 4 and the 4th verse, it says, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. But the first part of that verse says, then when the fullness of time was come, and all of the predictions, all the prophecies, all of those who had looked into the coming of this King of Kings and Lord of Lords was fulfilled, as Paul said to them, in the fullness of time. And the Son of God came to be born of a woman, not made of natural generation, not made of the natural and ordinary processes of a man and woman, but made very uniquely, made by the word incarnation of the Lord coming down to be born of a virgin in the fullness of time to redeem them that were under the law. And now we come to Matthew chapter 2. And these men who have come, these wise men who have come, and they ask this question in chapter 2 and verse 2, where they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he?" And as they were coming to seek and to find out about the Lord, to find out where he was, so that question has been asked by many people in every generation. And I wonder, is it still being asked by people today? Where is he? Where is the Lord? As the wise men ask that question, it does us good to investigate a little bit about who these people were. They are called the Magi. It is believed that they were from the Persian religious caste. Some consider that as Nebuchadnezzar, back in the days of his ruling of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, when he would conquer empires or kingdoms, he would gather the wisest and the best of those people and bring them into his inner court. And of course, the book of Daniel itself bears that out, for Daniel and his three friends were those who were taken as captives from Israel and brought into the very court of Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel himself rose to great heights in that empire. And the story of Daniel and of his prophecies about the establishment of the kingdom of the Messiah that would be an everlasting kingdom. And so he preached Christ in Babylon. He preached the coming of the Messiah in that very place. And a man of his esteem and reputation would most certainly have influenced people. And so in Daniel chapter 5, we find that he himself was included in the same office or gathering of people who were known as the astrologers and the magicians and those whom Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember the story, was going to destroy all of them because they could not indicate his dream to him nor the interpretation. And Daniel came along and through the Spirit of God was able to do that. But I'm telling you that because as we think about these wise men who had come now to Bethlehem, we have to ask ourselves a question. They came seeking the King of the Jews. We cannot tell positively why they came or where they came from, but we do have to ask the question, how did they get this information? If they came from a distance and a long way away, there has to be some way that they knew of the prophecies of the Scripture, and they would have to know that there was a king of the Jews, that was going to be born, and that star was leading them. Now, we understand and believe that the star that was there was a supernatural star given by the Lord for the direction of these men. But into their hearts, how did they know about the coming of the King of the Jews? Now, we could suggest to you that it was simply God's Spirit who put it into their hearts, and he told them that there was a king that was going to be born, and they were going to come to worship him. And whereas that is certainly plausible, it is also very much a possibility that the influence of the preaching of Daniel and of those who came after him, because God always had his faithful servants and remnant that would convey the message of the coming Messiah. It was repeated over and over again by the prophets. And so these men, they heard the word of the coming of a great king that was to be born. There is, of course, tradition that is based around the Roman Catholic thought about these wise men. They have gone so far as to give them names. They call one of them Gaspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar. And they are now honored as patron saints, the patron saint of the travelers. And they're added among the various relics that are brought up. They actually were claimed to have their bodies found and they were taken to Constantinople and then to Milan. And in 1162, they were deposited in a cathedral in Cologne, where now resides the shrine of the three kings. There is always going to be the religious tradition that is connected with things of this nature. Though their exact origin and where they came from and exactly how they found out the message, we know that they had a genuine desire to seek for the King of the Jews. And we know they were seekers. They were not wise men because they had some great learning, but I would suggest to you that they were wise men because they were coming to seek for the King of the Jews. They were very earnest. They traversed a great distance. They had come a long way. They had nothing to gain in it of themselves, but they actually spent. It cost them to seek the Lord. It cost them of their riches. It cost them of their time. It cost them of their energy. It was an inconvenience. They had to leave their family, their friends, their flocks and their fields. They had to leave all of that. For what purpose? Because they were coming to seek the Christ of God. Their search was for a person. Their search was for the King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And having found the child King, their search was now fulfilled and completed. And what did they do when they found the young child in Bethlehem? What did they do? They fell down and they worshipped Him. You see, the seeking of the King of the Jews was not just an ordinary king. It could not have been in their mind. For certainly kings are born in every generation. And if they came from a far country in the east, there would be kings and emperors that would be born regularly. But there was something different about this one. And so significant and so different was that they were prepared to come on that quest and search, directed by God without question, led by that star, to seek a person. They were coming to seek the Christ of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And having found Him, they bowed down and they worshipped the Lord. Friend, have you been seeking the Lord? Is it true of you in your life that you have an earnestness to seek after Christ? Are you prepared to suffer the cost involved in seeking the Lord and asking the question, where is He? I need to find Him. I need to know Him. I want to experience Him in my life. I need to worship the King of Kings. Have you expended yourself in this great quest? If you are here this morning, my friend, and you are not a Christian, you are not a believer, you don't know the Lord in your heart, let me challenge you that you need to have the same heart, the same desire, the same intention that these men had as they came to find the Lord. Because in finding Him, their life purpose was fulfilled. For they had honored God. They had completed their mission. And when you find the Lord, when you experience Him in your life, your mission in life will be completed. You will know the answer and the reasons for life. You will know absolutely that God has had a purpose for you and He is going to fulfill that purpose. And whatever it costs you, whatever you have to give up to find the Lord, give it all up, because that will be the fulfillment of life for you. The wise men came to seek Him. And could we say they were wise because they sought the Lord? But they were wiser because they found Him. And they found Him whom their soul loved. And they found that great, valuable jewel and gem. And they have that in their possession. because they know the Lord as their Savior. But there was another one who was asking that question in this chapter, and he was Herod the king. And when Herod heard of the king, of a king being born, he was troubled. He was troubled because he felt threatened by someone who would dethrone him. He did not show this fear to the wise men when they came looking, and he rather encouraged them to diligently seek him. The question comes to my mind, Herod must have had a lapse of sanity at that moment. Why did he not send some of his men with the wise men to find the king so he would be sure not to lose him? Of course, it was the Lord who had overruled in that situation. But he encouraged them to diligently find them. He inquired of them when the star had appeared. And he said, "Search and bring me word again that I also may come to worship him." Of course, we know the duplicity. We know his deception and his dishonesty. But he also asked the question, "Where is the Lord?" His purpose was quite different, for he had an evil intent. He had a wicked intention. There was a deceptive response in this man as he was presented with the opportunity of finding the Savior. He had a very cruel outcome in his mind. He wanted to kill, he wanted to destroy, he wanted to put out of his memory, of his problem area, this king that was born, because Herod did not want to be dethroned. You know, the same thing is applying today. We have many Herods around today. There are many who have the same hatred, the same desire to destroy, to annihilate the name of Jesus Christ, and they will do everything within their power to eradicate his name. Why? Because they have a vicious hatred against God and against his Son, and against everything that the gospel stands for, and against the people of God at the same time. From Alexander the coppersmith, you remember Paul mentioned him. He did him much evil and much harm. There was a man who had set himself against the gospel of Christ, against Christ himself, and against the apostle Paul, who was the messenger of the Lord. And he mentions this man specifically. And there are those of the Roman emperors, as they used for sport Christians, as they burned them, or as they threw them alive into the Colosseum to be torn apart by the lions. And the numerous persecutions of the Roman emperors after that, and you go down through history to the torture of the Roman Catholic Spanish Inquisition. What about the fires of Smithfield and Bloody Mary, how she burned many of the choicest saints of God? Why? Because she hated the Lord. She hated Christ. And the persecutions of Christians as we move into the modern time in our day, in China, in the former Soviet Union, in Russia today, in the Islamic countries of the day in which we are living in, God's people who are under the prison sentence because they are believers. And all of this, why? Because there is an ongoing hatred of the Lord and of those who are seeking to find out, where is this Christ? When we find him, we will terminate him. We will finish his cause. We will put an end to all that he stands for and his people. If all these enemies had their way, the witness of the gospel of Christ would be stamped out forever. We know that behind this is satanic power. We know that behind all this is the inspiration of the evil one, because his days and his times are numbered. And he is trying to disannul. He is trying to do away with the whole gospel message and the person of Christ. Where do you stand? You need to be sure that you're not standing in the position of the mocker. Don't be standing in the position of those who are opposed to the gospel of Christ or of what he is intent on doing. There was another group here who were seeking the Lord. It was the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, because when these wise men came seeking him, the Lord, Herod asked them as he gathered them all together, "Where is he to be born, this king of the Jews?" And these religious leaders, as they were presented with this question, they had the right answer. They knew that Christ would be born in Bethlehem, as it is said in the prophet Micah 5 and verse 2, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth that is to be ruler in Israel." A governor, a ruler, the king. They knew where he was to be born, the promised Messiah. They were religious. They had the right answer in one sense, but they were dead. They were dead. They had the scriptures, but they were blind. And the Lord said he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And they were, as the Lord Jesus said, blind leaders of the blind. Friend, is it possible that there are within this very congregation those who have heard the message? Those who have received the Word of God, those who have known clearly the gospel message of repent and come to Christ and receive Him as Savior, and you might know the catechism questions and answers, you might know the scriptures, but at this point in time you're blind. You don't know the truth and the way, and you're like these religious leaders. You know where Christ was born. Sure, He was born in Bethlehem. You know the story of the crucifixion. Yes, he came to be born to die. You know that he rose again from the dead. But it's all a head knowledge. It's all up in your head, and it is not entered into your heart to change the life. Maybe you've been brought up in this church. Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian school. It may be that you can list all kinds of things that would go to your account, you think, about the good things you've done in your life. And you know them all, and you know all the right answers. And that, my friends, is one of the most dangerous situations. You seem to know it all. There's nothing new that can be told you about the gospel message. In fact, you could preach the gospel to other people, but yet in your heart, you have never surrendered yourself to Christ. For people who are in their religion, whether it is a religion of convenience or one of upbringing, people who are in that religious state, they count the cost. What will I have to give up? What will I have to put on the altar if I'm like these three wise men who are coming? It's going to cost me something. I'm going to have to put the gold on the table. I'm going to have to put my reputation on the table. I'm going to have to put my family on the table. And I'm going to have to set those things aside to declare, yes, I am a follower of Christ. He has come into my heart. He has changed my life. He is for me my all in all. And there is a cost involved, friend. But don't think it's your religious observance. Don't think it's simply your knowledge of the Bible or your knowledge of the catechism or your baptism or any other thing like that. Those things cannot save you. No, my friend, there is only one thing that can save you. And that's by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Of repenting of your sin and asking Him to come and to change your life. There is undoubtedly another group that were here, in the vicinity certainly of Matthew chapter 2. And there were those who were uninterested in the whole matter. They were busy. They were very busy about their business, their affairs of the day. They had cattle to sell. They had products to sell. They had things to be busy about. All this idea of a Christ, a Savior being born in Bethlehem, of so many kings coming, or of wise men coming rather, to seek out a king. Certainly there were those who were busy about the business. A Messiah, a king, a Savior, a star. It's all very interesting, but we'll let those religious people sort out those kinds of things. Just leave me alone in that matter. I'm not interested in those things. Let me carry on my life the way I'm going. And they continue to buy and to sell and to be about their business. And here the King of Kings was born. The Messiah had come. And there were people who were in Bethlehem buzzing around the inn. The inn was jammed with people at that time when the Lord was born. And as these wise men 2 years later had finally come to seek the young child, as Mary and Joseph had obviously hired a home, a house of some kind in Bethlehem, that's where these wise men came to. And as they sought and came for him, people were still buzzing around in all their business, and yet not interested. The king has been born. The Messiah has come, the Savior of the world. So, what's that to me? Uninterested. Is it not the same today? Do you not find it the same today in your workplace? You try to tell someone about the reality of the gospel and of the power of Christ. You try to share with them what he has done for you in your life and what he means to you. And it all seems that, so what? It's not for me. I'm not interested in that. I've got a life to live. I've got money to make. And certainly in these days, I've got some things to be concerned about because the market has fallen apart. All my investments are gone. I've got more things to think about now. And the Lord is not in the equation. They're uninterested. Maybe, friend, that fits you. Maybe that's part where you are. Somebody has presented the gospel to you. You've heard it before. You've heard it again today. And yet you're thinking in your mind, I've got a lot of other things to be concerned about in my life. And maybe sometime later I'll think about this, but not just now. Friend, what if you don't have tomorrow to think about it? What if you are hurled into eternity this very day, as the Lord said to that man who had prepared himself barns and greater barns to store all his goods? He was going to be set for years to come. The Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall all these things be? Uninterested in the gospel? Uninterested in the Lord, He is standing today. He is knocking at the door of your heart. And He is inviting you to open. Yes, friend, Christ is found. He is found in the hearts of His people. He is this day in heaven at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He has promised to come again, and He will be coming again. Where is the Lord? The Lord is standing this day outside the camp of apostasy and compromise. Where is the Lord today? Do you have Him in your heart? Is He in your life? Is your life changed as a result of the knowledge of the Lord in you? Oh, I pray that during this season of the year, as your thoughts may well be drawn closer to the reality of the Lord, you might not only ask the question, where is He? But you will know the answer, and it will be a fulfillment for you in your life. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we draw our service to a close now this morning, we pray that the Spirit of God would continue to strive in the hearts of any, whether a young person, an older person who is outside of Christ, that they would come to trust in Him. Lord, answer our prayer. May this question not be removed from the minds, not be removed from the hearts, until the answer is given conclusively. I know whom I have believed in. I know where Christ is today, for He lives within my heart, within my life. Father, answer prayer, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your hymnal now as we close our service and turn number 311. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in His Word He has shown us the way. Here in our midst He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. 311, let's please stand to sing. We could be of any help to anyone who is seeking the Lord in their life. Very happy to do that and spend whatever time we need to show you from the Word of God how you can know beyond any question that Christ is real. He has revealed Himself in His Word, and there is the message of hope and salvation for you. Speak to us before you leave today. We'd be happy to pray with you. Father, we ask now that Thou would part us in Thy fear. And with the blessing of the Lord, shine upon us, we ask, and keep us in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And Lord, continue to strive with hearts outside of Christ. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.